Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here for another episode of Turning Towards Life. You are so welcome and wanted and needed and loved for being here. We are so glad to be doing this as usual and to be continually finding different sources to bring and to be in conversation with one another, Justin, you and I. But also feel the ripples of our conversations in the world. It's a great joy. I heard some more ripples this week that somebody was on holiday and played the stuff in the car to their sister and their parents, and they all had very different conversations than they would have done otherwise. And I love that we're having an impact in the world in that way, Justin, on people's holidays in the car. Like, we all know the ordinariness of being together and listening to things. So it's a great joy. I wanted to say that every time we hear from you, any kind of feedback like that, any kind of response, we absolutely love it, and we talk about it and we respond to you. And please email us hello@turningtowards.life. We'd love to hear from you. We also want to remind you that in a couple of weeks' time, few weeks' time, we're beginning Turning Towards Life Live, where you can come and meet us and hang out with us and hang out with each other, fellow listeners of Turning Towards Life, on the 10th of September. At 6 p.m. UK time. And it's for 3 hours. We will be in this practice together. We will create our circle of us, whoever is with us on that day, and then for the following 6 months. And we will learn how to be together in community around this practice. And that we would just want to invite you, basically. Please come. We'd love to have you with us. And it's turningtowards.life is our website, and you can sign up and come. And please look at the website, look at the dates, feel into the possibility, and please ask us any questions you like when you get to the point of wondering about it. So Justin, we've got this wonderful source from you today, and I think that's everything I want to say ahead of it. And maybe you want to say anything, but otherwise we can move into our episode.
We can move in. I want to say hello to you, Lizzie. Thank you for doing this with me again. It's our 411th week, and we're going to be talking about practice again today, a topic that's keeps on coming up for me. I want to say hello to everyone. Thank you for being with us. Lizzie and I, we're looking at one another. We can see one another. And if you are a person who listens on the podcast, you might like to know that we're on YouTube as well. You can see us and be with us that way if you wish. We don't look too bad, I think, Lizzie, you and me talking to one another. I think we're quite good to look at for a while. But it's another way of being with us. So that's available. And I just want to say about my excitement about Turning Towards Life Live, Lizzie, in this, as we're recording this, we're getting close to it. And thank you to those of you who have already chosen to join us. We are very excited. You're probably listening, and we'll be sending out all the details about how to join and what to expect in the coming week or so. And there's still space to come and join this first season, and then we'll be doing another season and another season. So it's very exciting. And you were talking about ripples, Lizzie, and I just want to say a very personal and very direct, some words of appreciation to a very old friend of mine who is a very brilliant and published writer, and I've been reading her books afresh over the last few weeks, and because of that we got into a conversation about many things about life, and because of that she came and listened to Turning Towards Life, and which was such a gift, and we found out so much about one another from her doing that. So I want to say, you'll know who you are if you're listening, I want to say thank you to you for listening and coming our way, and thank you to all of you who often think about this, Lizzie, and it's true about joining Turning Towards Life Live as well. And I think it would be relevant to the conversation we're about to have from the source that we've got today is choices about time. You know, where do we choose to attend to? Where do we put our time? And what does where we put our time turn us into? What kind of person does it have us be? And I so appreciate that there are always so many calls on all of our time. If you're a person who cares about anything or anyone, you're going to have many calls on your time. And if you're a person who lives in the world of all of these devices and different kinds of media that are designed to grab our attention and our time, and before we know it, it's gone. We're all under many of us feel under enormous time pressure And all of us are involved in being people who make choices. So that anybody that you come and that you listen, however often, whether this is once in a while or you're with us every week, just to appreciate what it takes to set aside time for something. And we really appreciate and cherish anyone, all of you who do. So thanks for being with us. So we're going to do what we always do at Turning Towards Life. This is the practice, and this will be the central practice of Turning Towards Life Live. We talked a little bit about this last week, about bringing a source into the center and then opening ourselves to one another and to the words and to what's happening between us enough that something new can happen. And this source, which you can find always in the show notes and on the turningtowards.life website, you'll also get in the email if you come to the website and sign up for the email. Lizzie, this comes from Cheryl Strayed, whose work I have loved for years. She wrote an amazing book called Wild many years ago, and she has another brilliant book called Tiny Beautiful Things. And she also had a column, like an advice column, an agony art column called Dear Sugar. And out of that has a whole world has come. And she now writes, like many people do. One of the things she does occasionally on her website is interviews other authors. So this comes from Cheryl Strayed's writing, but it's actually from a conversation with Chloe Caldwell, who's an author as well. And so these are Chloe's words in conversation with Cheryl, just so we know the context. And I think where this begins is Cheryl has asked Chloe, who had the most influence on you? Like, whose life has touched you the most? And here's what Chloe says. My dad passed away last December, and he was in the top three closest people to me over my life. And he used to have a phrase that he used with his guitar students. You get good at what you do. If you practice guitar, you get really good at guitar. If you don't practice, you get really good at not practicing. I love this phrase because you can apply it to every single thing in life in ways both literal and abstract. If you write, you get good at writing. If you look at Instagram, you get good at looking at Instagram. If you walk, you get good at walking. If you swim, you get good at swimming. If you write, you get good at writing. If you don't write, you get really good at not writing. If you look at Instagram, you get really good at looking at Instagram. I think my dad's lesson seeped into my brain from hearing him say it so much. It wasn't advice as much as a notion. And now I pass it along to my students and think about it once a day. It seems simple and like something we all know logically, but the way it's phrased really drives it home. When he died, one of his guitar students wrote, Rob was good at love and music. It's what he did.
Thank you, Justin. So if you're watching us, you would have seen that I was just closing my eyes, and what was happening is I was gently trying to be softened and impacted by what Justin was saying. And if you fancy doing the same thing, if it's easy for you to do, you could maybe listen and see how closing your eyes and being still and in receipt of this enables you to receive it. So here we go. My dad passed away last December, and he was in the top three closest people to me over my life. He used to have a phrase he used with his guitar students. You get good at what you do. If you practice guitar, you get really good at guitar. If you don't practice, you get really good at not practicing. I love this phrase because you can apply it to every single thing in life, in ways both literal and abstract. If you write, you get good at writing. If you look at Instagram, you get good at looking at Instagram. If you walk, you get good at walking. If you swim, you get good at swimming. If you write, you get good at writing. If you don't write, you get really good at not writing. If you look at Instagram, you get really good at looking at Instagram. I think my dad's lesson seeped into my brain from hearing him say it so much. It wasn't advice as much as a notion. Now I pass it along to my students and think about it once a day. It seems simple and like something we all know logically, but the way it is phrased really drives it home. When he died, one of his guitar students wrote, "Rob was good at love and music. It's what he did."
So I think that last line to me, Lizzie, is like the punchline of the whole thing. Rob was good at love and music. And I found it really touching because I don't know Chloe and I didn't know Rob. But the thought of someone who dedicated himself enough to practicing loving other people that he could be good at love is so touching. And it's also very enhopening, to use a word that I learned from you, hope making. Because, for example, I think in the world right now, many of us are getting really good at outrage. And outrage is kind of good and useful for some things. But if it's a whole life of outrage, it turns us into people who are good at outrage, but maybe not good at love. Or the world, for many of us, is a world of distraction. And here's the Instagram point. When I think about the people who have impacted my life the most, they were all good at things that really mattered. And enough of the things that really mattered because they cared about them. And I don't mean they were good at accounting or that they were good at painting, whatever. Very important as those things are, they were also good at attention or care or speaking truthfully or listening. So I'm moved by that last part. But the other thing, one of the reasons I got really drawn to this is this part where Chloe says, it's sort of obvious. And then I think, yeah, it's obvious, but actually it's often not that obvious that essentially every single thing we do often and every single thing we avoid or don't do shapes us, turns us into the kind of person that we are. And I think it's really easy to forget that and to think, I'm not being affected by the way I'm living. Mm. Oh, I'll just spend this few hours, you know, Instagram's a great example, actually, like many of those technologies, it's built on infinite scroll. So it never ends. It's not like you get to the bottom of the list, you've read 10 things and then it goes, see ya. You read 10 and then there's another 10, and there's another 100, and there's another 1,000. Like it never stops. So it's quite easy to just to keep going. And I think most of us, if we do, after a little while, we feel the effect on us. If we're at all self-aware, we'll feel what it does to us just to keep going and keep going and keep going. But what we might think is, oh, it doesn't matter because it's not going to change me. And what Chloe is reminding us is it all changes us. All of it. Mm. Like, all of it matters. And I don't think that means that we have to all be up to noble, purposeful things all the time. You know, I think what it's saying is something different, which is, look, you're making yourself and being made into a kind of person through what you're doing. Is that the kind of person you want to be?
Mm.
Are you getting good at the things that you love, that you long for, that matter to you, that bring you alive, that bring you into contact with the world in the way that you want to be? And if you're not, you're practicing being a person who doesn't do that. And in the context of Chloe talking about her dad having died, time is really short.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're 20 or 50 or 70, time is really short. We don't have time to waste, I don't think.
Mm.
So this very simple bit of writing lands in me as a giant wake-up call to say, even if I don't have, there's so many things in my life that I don't have choice about, but in those areas where I do have choice, what am I practicing? And even if, Lizzie, I'm, as I am, committed to sitting and talking with you now for this time, so I'm not going to run off and go and practice my painting whilst I'm with you. What am I practicing as I'm with you? And who is that turning me and you into? From the way that I'm practicing, what am I intentionally attending to, growing, cultivating from the way that I'm being with you and what am I not? It's such a good question about how to live and about how to come at things.
My gosh, it's so stirring, this whole notion of time is limited and we are turning into the people we're turning into because of what we're doing. And what are we doing? What am I doing that's shaping me? I mean, everything is shaping me. And then the everything I'm not doing is also shaping me. It's quite a, I can feel it, the kind of confronting, I think you said, awakening or wake up callness about it. Because we are doing lots of things all the time. And I know there's a part of me that can look back in a day and go, I've got no idea what happened there. Like someone says to me, oh, what did you do on your weekend? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to sit down and think about that because it was a whirlwind. And I know that I'm a mom of small children, whirlwind, rambunctious, ransacking of house and sticking fingers in plug sockets and spilling drinks. And we were on a train yesterday, Justin, and Zinzan, who's one, tipped honey all over himself on a train. It's like, oh God. And so my life is filled with honey filled babies on trains. And I think what you just said as well was, well, who am I being in the moment when I'm cleaning my son up from a honey event when there's also another child who needs me and the train's moving? Like there's a way that I think you use the word conscious, like what am I, or intention, what are my intentions and what is that turning me into? And I think the thing about this passage is it can also, certainly it does for me, makes me go, oh God, I'm not playing my guitar enough. I'm not doing painting enough. I'm not doing, you know, that. And actually, I think you're inviting us into something that might include those things, but also includes an acknowledgement of what we're already doing and what we're already kerfuffling around with in our lives. And which shows us our dedication and which shows us our intentions. And lots of times I feel like I'm dedicated to things that I don't particularly want to be dedicated to in the question of, is what you're doing what you want to be doing and turning you into who you want to be or not? So there's lots of times where I think I'm just getting on with something and I'm not conscious of what it's turning me into. And then there are lots of times where there's a lot of intent and consciousness and seeing if I can cultivate different ways, different avenues in myself to go down than my habitual trodden given by my parents, ancestors' path. And it seems to me that it really matters to know that we're already practicing, like we're already doing that, whether we like it or not as humans, that's already happening. But this is kind of a call to an inventory, like a call to awareness of, well, what is it that I'm dedicating myself to? And what is it that I'm not doing that's also turning me into the person that comes about by not doing that thing? And so I'm feeling quite kind of like invited into wondering that and noticing how hard it is to get a hold of as well. You know, so much of life feels like it's happening and that I'm not at the center of it and that I'm being, you know, I certainly am not intending for honey to be poured over a one-year-old on a moving train when we're just about to get off at Euston. You know, that like you said, there's things that are outside of your control that you then, all you really have is your choices around practicing in response. Like, how am I going to handle this? And who am I going to be? And what am I doing and what am I not doing? And how is that shaping me? But just that central question of what am I doing? What am I not doing? And how are those things shaping me? Is quite something. It's arresting is what it is. It's like, oh, hold on a second. All of the things I'm not doing are shaping me. What the hell is all of that? And I'm doing a lot of stuff and it's shaping me. How is it shaping me? And this whole thing about Instagram, Justin, as well. When I really start thinking about it, it does kind of give me the heebie-jeebies of what actually happens when we're in that space. And, you know, sometimes there's that thing that pops up on, I don't know how it works, actually it pops up on my phone that says your screen time is this. And you go, oh my goodness. I mean, over the summer, I think my screen time was 5 minutes, because when you're with children the whole time, there's just that thing, that shaping just doesn't get to happen. So checking my who's WhatsApped me or looking at Instagram, whatever, it just wasn't happening. And that's already a piece of consciousness that I'm holding into now, which is, well, who did that make me that I haven't been on my phone for the whole summer, other than in a snatched 5 minutes to do a supermarket shop for when we get home from somewhere, because I know the children are going to be starving or something. It's and then I think the times when I am on my phone and I am down an Instagram hole and I get obsessed with who, what's that guy called? Is it The Rock? The big actor. Anyway, I've gone down a hole of his before. I thought, oh my gosh, he's such a lovely man. And look, he lets his children colour in his bald head with face paints and put glitter all over him and a tutu on his head. And then I think I have to look at, and I go down a rabbit hole of someone else's life and someone else's existence. And what happens? I'm not sure I know, in all truth. I know that there's enjoyment at the content of this thing, but I also know it's nothing to do with me. It's not my life. It's not anything that is really relevant to my purpose or anything. And so it's giving me something. And I know that everyone talks about the kind of the dopamine hit that comes, you know, the kind of feel goodness of the more, I'm like, I'm acquiring more things by going down the scrolling feed or whatever. I think that's really worth studying. Like, it's worth watching myself and seeing what that brings me, because I can feel it as I'm talking about it. Like, there's a something that I'm getting from doing that. And it's also, as you're saying, it's shaping me somehow. But I find it hard to get a hold of. And I think that's part of why it's tricky, is I think there's a feeling in it. Like, it feels good. And then I don't know, I'm not sure I can kind of cognitively get a hold of, well, how does that, what does that turn me into? It's a bit kind of under the radar or something in my own awareness anyway. And so I wonder whether the conversation with me is like, well, if I don't do that, who is it making me into? And then that's an easier to get hold of conversation for me than in the hypnosis of it and in the kind of, I'm suddenly in The Rock's living room in Los Angeles or something and laughing my head off at the glitter. I mean, there's joy in it, and I'm not going to get rid of that or something. But I know that it leads to other things and a kind of a zombie-likeness in me that is, well, I don't even know what it is, but I feel weird about it. I can feel weird about it, but I don't really know. I haven't studied it in myself enough to know what's actually going on. Anyway, I didn't want to turn this into a whole conversation about social media, but I noticed that this says Instagram, and as soon as that word gets said, there's a possible slippery slope into wondering what the magnitude of all of this is in me. And I think it's like everybody has a mobile phone, Justin. Like, everybody. And the children see mobile phones all the time. And I never saw them when I was little. And who did that make me into? There was just this huge brick phone that came along one day when I was about 14. And it was a funny walkie-talkie with a huge big thing, and it was hard to carry. So until then, I didn't see that at all. And then now that's different. And who is that making us into?
I think your observation that it's not always obvious what practice, the way we practice, makes us into, is really worth taking up, actually, because it would be easy to read Chloe's words, and you've pointed to this in what you just said earlier, as a sort of value system. Well, Lizzie, you should be doing more guitar practice. I mean, come on, why aren't you painting more? And there is something in it. But if that becomes just another sort of stick to beat ourselves with, without some kind of serious attention, if it just becomes a, you know, here's the, you pick up, or you go to a website, or you pick up a magazine in the newsagents, some people still do that, I think, magazines, or you know, read it in an email, or here are the five things that every person should do. It just becomes a, I think you're inviting us actually into something really, really important, which is paying attention and being curious. So to being willing to ask ourselves, how would I know how this is changing me, what I'm doing? Where would I look?
Mm.
You might look at the experience as you do it. You might look at how you find yourself relating to other people after you do it. Mm. What happens then?
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing it seems to me is, and this is the thing I want to pick up on something you said, is that sometimes we don't know, because the effect of practice is cumulative. Well, there are great sources of wisdom about this. Like, I think generally listening to people, paying attention to ourselves, you know, there are great sources of wisdom about things to do that help us become the kind of open, deep, responsive, creative, present people that I think many of us long to be. But there is something about joyful experimentation. Like, what happens if I don't do my ordinary practice of scrolling through Instagram for a few months? How am I different from that? Can I tell? Like, being experimental and sort of a bit scientific about it. Like, I'm going to look, I'm going to see what the evidence is. And the other thing that struck me whilst you were saying is that there is also something for, so there's something about feeling into our longings. Like, thinking about, I've been a parent of young ones too, not now, because they're much bigger, they're young adults now, but what kind of parent do I want to be?
Mm.
Like, how do I want to deal with the honey? Like, who am I practicing being by the way I respond to the honey is part of Chloe's question. And I think that's why this line about Rob was good at love that just comes in at the end is so striking. He was obviously practicing love as well as practicing being a guitar teacher. You know, what is that?
Yeah.
But the other thing about it is I've been finding that there's really something in deliberately practicing things which are kind of opposite to the way I do things to find out what they produce.
Mm-hmm.
Because our ordinary everyday way of doing things that is making us into the kind of person I am shapes so much. It shapes my values. It shapes how I'll respond to people. It shapes what my reactions are. It shapes. So some of my experiments have been like, haven't worked out well. Like where I've tried expressing a strong feeling to someone else without sort of holding it back and being reasonable about it and being thoughtful about it. I've sort of said, I'm going to tell you how I feel. Sometimes that's been really good. And sometimes I've hurt someone or I've created a rupture in a relationship or so not all of our experiments work out, but it's been very good to widen my range. So that's one of the things I've been thinking about. But the other thing I wanted to tell you about, I think I've spoken to you a bit about this, Lizzie, is because I've got the time to do it, because I'm not parenting young ones. For a few months, I've been going along to an evening dance practice, which people who are listening might have heard of, is called Five Rhythms. And in Five Rhythms dancing, basically, you get to dance in whatever way you want, but to five wildly different kinds of music, very quiet and very loud and wild and soft, and it kind of goes through a range. And I have had this sense for a long time that body practices are really good for me because I've had lots of practice in my life thinking a lot and staying quite still. So like I've found this over the last few years, just moving my body makes a huge difference. And then what happens with Five Rhythms is I have to dance stuff that I was like, oh, I don't want to move like that. And I notice that over the decades of my life, I've practiced moving in some ways and not in others. And it's been quite uncomfortable. And I've had to really fight the wish to leave. So often I'll go, I really want to go. And about halfway through, it's like, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to slip out the door now. I'm going. And there has been a moment to practice and I'm going to stay. And it's really hard because there's something in me that just wants to get out of there. And what I realized this week, because I've been doing it for a while now, is without realizing it, I've been learning that it's possible to be way more flexible in ways of being in the world than I usually am. So I've been practicing being like on a particular kind of track. And then this dancing is showing me, whoa, I can practice, I can grow this in me, and I can grow this in me. And quite unexpectedly, I'm learning something about range, flexibility, changing course. What's the way I thought about it the other day? Putting on many different kind of suits of clothes, meeting the moment. And I realized, which hadn't taken me ages to figure this out, oh, there are lots of situations in my life where what I'm practicing is trying to get the world to meet me. Like, I won't do this, but the world has to meet me in a particular way. And I'm learning through moving in these ways, oh, there's another whole way to be in the world, which is to meet the world. You know, to flex myself to meet the world and stop just demanding that the world does things my way. And who would have known? I didn't know this, that I could learn all of that by going and throwing my body around in five different ways every week. The most important bit that I think I'm trying to say about it is it's been about practicing something that is other. Something other to the usual everyday. Now, maybe actually I should spend a few hours scrolling Instagram. I think I know already what that does to me. I think I've practiced that enough to know it's really not good for me. But I'm trying to sort of speak in a way that, in a way, challenges the idea that there's a right, that we ought to know what the right set of practices. I mean, I think we ought to know what our values are and who we care about and how to take care of them. All of that, like, that really matters. And then there's this whole range of, I don't know, who am I if I paint? Who am I if I dance? Who am I if I sit quietly, which I've never done? Who am I if I go for a walk on my own? Or who am I if I pick up the phone to other people? Like, who do I become? There's what a world to start to wonder about. And in order to do it, we can't get it from a book, and you can't get it from a website. You can actually only get it by practicing things and watching and maybe asking people, like, what do you see when I'm living this way? And it busts open the idea that we're fixed, because we're not. And that's this thing about, I'm so glad Chloe's writing about her dad having died, because a lot of us think, one day, when I've got through this part of my life, it could be parenting, and parenting has, but it could be when I've worked 50 years in my career, or it could be when I've got enough money, or it could be when I meet the right person, or it could be, then I'll give some time to finding out who this one is and what it is to be me and who I want to grow into. And I think I want to say, don't wait.
Do you know where I went to when you were talking, Justin, is firstly doing something intentionally, as in the joyful experimentation feeling, as you said, feels like a really excellent first easy way in to noticing. Because if you go somewhere like the Five Rhythms mat with the intention of noticing what it's like, and it's not your normal life, the Five Rhythms Hall, it's a place where you've intentionally gone to see yourself and to wonder, it's such a great starting point of, well, this is unfamiliar, there's nothing habitual about being here other than my own kind of ways of dealing with a new situation and all that, but it's a kind of a place where I could go and see myself. That feels like such a friendly way to begin to try and observe the rest of life, in a way, because it's building the capacity to see oneself in the midst of your own responses to life. I think ordinary life is definitely a very important place to look, but it feels to me like it's a more challenging place to look than the place that's designated as a beginning place of looking, and an always place of looking too. But I was just thinking of myself going to new places, and like Pilates on a Tuesday morning that I do, and I'm on my own, it's a designated space, I watch myself in relationship to struggle. That's my intention, is I go there and I say, what's it like for me to find something hard, and what do I do, and how do I kind of cop out? How do I push myself? Like, what's my relationship to challenge? And it's much easier to watch that there than it is in the right old kerfuffle of my life, because there's space and there's difference and it's beginning-y, you know. And then I was thinking as well, what's it like, as you were just saying, to say to someone, You know, I remember that saying, if you want to see what someone's dedicated to, don't ask them, just watch what they do. And that will give you a more straightforward answer. And I was thinking, well, I could ask people close to me what they think I'm dedicating my life to. Like, ask them what my practices are. Because sometimes I can't see what I'm doing. Like, as I said, a whole day passes and I'm like, well, thank goodness we made it through that one. And it's bedtime. So I think I would need someone to help me understand what I'm practicing and what I'm not practicing. And that conversation would be so fruitful because it might be acknowledging of a lot of goodness. And it also might be pointing out of a lot of places that I'm missing, that I could be doing something or I could be stopping something. And I'm really interested to find a person, a safe person to tell me in the spirit of love what they feel my dedication is and what they feel my practices are so that I could see them more clearly. Because it does feel hard to see when it's, and I know that I have this particular life at the moment, which is filled with moving parts and zero sitting down and wondering what film I'm going to watch or whatever, which one day the luxury will return, maybe. But that's not what my life is like at the moment. And so in the constant movingness of it, I think it would be really helpful to have people say, this is what I see you're dedicated to, and this is what I see you practice, and this is what I see you don't do. And actually, I had a conversation like that over the summer with my sister, where she was pointing to things I do and that I don't do and how it's turning me and my family into who we are and who we can't be because of what I'm doing and everything. And it's really delicate too. It's really sensitive territory because I think a lot of the stuff is not visible until someone says something to us. And I think that conversation really matters. And when things come out of the shadows like that, and when they're blind to us in an ordinary way, it can feel really, really tender and like, oh my gosh, you can see something and I can't see it. But I know it's me because when you say it, I can see it.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling tender about that and also grateful where people are happy and willing to tell the truth in a very kind and supportive way for one's own intentions about life. You know, when we know what our values are and we know what our intentions are and our practices don't match them, I think that's one of the tender places in all of this. And we need help to notice those things, I think.
Well, that's such a good place to end, Lizzie. And that, of course, is what you and I and others have dedicated ourselves to in the way that we do coaching and in the way that we teach coaching as well. I'm thinking, we're recording this in late August 2025, and we're a couple of months into the start of our new year-long professional coaching course. And what everyone who's on the program is doing at the moment is taking up new practice and learning to observe and watching in all the ways that we're talking about. And I was listening to someone else's podcast about coaching recently, and they were making a case for why learn to coach. And actually, one reason to learn to coach is not because you want to necessarily be a person who does that with other people, but because we learn so much about our own, all of this, by learning to pay attention to ourselves in the service of learning to pay attention to others in all the ways that you're talking about. So I'm feeling very excited for them, everyone who's on the program this year, and sort of this point of immersing in new practice. And then for all of us, you and me and everyone listening, I think this conversation and Chloe's writing leaves us with some questions. Where are we going to pay attention to? Who might we ask to help us pay attention to? And who are we becoming through what we're practicing? Wonderful. Thank you for this very rich conversation and for practicing with me, Lizzie. And we're going to end there. And thank you, everyone, for being with us. Please remember that if you go to turningtowards.life, you can find more about Turning Towards Life Live, which starts on the 10th of September. But you can also sign up for our emails, which will keep you up to date with everything, and you'll get all the recordings and all of the sources. It's completely free, and it's a wonderful way of being in close to this conversation with us. Thank you, everyone. All being well, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.